Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we share together in God's precious Word. Here's Senior Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Listen, I read through the Psalm, not read, there's 150 Psalms, but while I was in Ukraine, I read a bunch of Psalms, and even this week while I was home. And it's amazing to see, and even in the book of Psalm, where it talks about the everlasting covenant, and I have a note, I wrote that down. There's like 40 or 50 verses. I wish I had that note. It's in my other notes. I wrote down that that everlasting and generations are in the same verse. Isn't that interesting? Generations and everlasting are in the same verse, which means something. But anyway, Daniel chapter number 12, verse number 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince shall stand up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation, even at that same time. When does this take place? Tribulation period. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. These are saved people. In verse number 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And that will be at the great white throne judgment. Resurrection of the just, resurrection of the unjust. So the great white throne judgment is for all unbelievers, and we'll get to that. But I want you to see the time period. For Old Testament saints, at the time of trouble, Michael, he'll stand up for Israel, thy people, and that the graves will be open, and you see that there in this. Okay, turn me to Job. I love. Isn't it amazing in the book of Job, most likely the first book that was ever written? It's what Bible scholars tell me. I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, but what great minds say that Job was written even before the Pentateuch. That's probably so, before Moses wrote the Pentateuch. Job's first, who told Job about the resurrection? There was nothing. Who told Job there's going to be a resurrection? I believe God did. Jesus did. Listen to what Job said about the resurrection. Job chapter number 14. Write these verses down, if you will. Verses 12 through 14. Job had never been to church. He never went to a Bible college, but he knew something about resurrection. Because look at this. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, and that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath passed. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time. Remember we talked about every man in his own order? Job knew that there's going to be a certain time I was going to be resurrected at that set time. And keep me in secret until thy wrath be passed. The wrath, I believe he's referring to, the tribulation period. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time. And remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? Of course. All the days of, there it is again, of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job knew something about resurrection. I'm going to lay lifeless in the grave my body is, but one day my change is coming. I'm going to get a new body. Look with me, and Job further illustrates this in Job chapter number 19, a very familiar passage of scripture to most all of us, Job 19, 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, that's death, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew something about a resurrected body. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Again, Job knew something about resurrection. And these verses would tell us that it's after the wrath is passed. Let's go a little bit farther. Okay, let me give you one more. I have other ones, but I'm running out of time. Isaiah 26, 19 through 21. Isaiah chapter number 26, verses 19 through 21. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Resurrection. By the way, the word resurrection literally means a standing up. A standing up. Okay. The dead man shall live together with my dead body, and they shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and thy earth shall cast out the dead. That resurrection. Now look in verse number 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. That tribulation period, till that indignation, that wrath that we read about in Daniel, that time of trouble that Job was talking about. And then we see in Isaiah that indignation when it shall be overpassed. For verse number 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That's that indignation. That's referring to the tribulation period. And the earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her sin. So those verses and other verses I won't have time to discuss, but I think that's enough to show you that I believe the Old Testament saints received their resurrected bodies at the end of the tribulation period at what we would call the gleanings, when the tribulation saints received their resurrected bodies. The Old Testament saints will receive their resurrected bodies, and they enter into the kingdom. Moses, Isaac, Jacob, as referred to in Matthew and is in Luke, you will see them enter into the kingdom, that millennial reign of Christ. Now, for unbelievers, that completes what's called the first resurrection. Matter of fact, it talks about that this is the first resurrection. It's in three parts: first fruits, main harvest, and gleanings. Y'all get that? Okay, you got it. All right. That's for believers. Then there's a resurrection of the unjust. That's for unbelievers. For every unbeliever from the time of Cain or whoever died before, we just pick on Cain because that we know of. Probably, I wouldn't doubt people died before Cain. Because remember, you couldn't kill Cain. You wasn't supposed to. God set a mark on Cain. Remember that? That if anybody messes with Cain, remember that? So Cain, I don't believe, was the first one to end hell. It's probably other people before him, but that's neither here nor there. But we just refer to Cain because first unbeliever we know of. In Revelation chapter number 20, for unbelievers, beginning in verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Now this is after the millennial reign of Christ. We're now in the after the millennium. And from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. Now these are unbelievers. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural. I wish I could talk about that, but time won't allow. According to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I just want you to see the point that even unbelievers will receive a resurrected body. And they will stand before Jesus Christ, what the Bible refers to as the great white throne. Believers stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about, the Bema seat. Don't you know that we all must stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, all believers? Well, all unbelievers will also stand before Christ, and that's why it's so important. Think it, Doug, isn't it in Philippians where it says that at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue, is that in the book of Philippians? And every tongue shall, I think that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. is our prayer.